praise the Lord. It's all about Him. You know, sometimes we sing songs and we sing them out of habit. But I hope today that that is our prayer. That it truly is all about Him, because He is our hope. He is our strength. He's the one who gives us our power. Amen. You can be seated. We're here this morning for our teaching hour, God's Word for Life. We teach these lessons not just to stay here, but because we truly believe that God's Word is what we need in our lives every single day, everywhere we go, here, at work, definitely at home, wherever we are. We need His Word leading us, guiding us, teaching us. Last week in our lesson, we began a brief look. I call it brief. There's only 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians, but I love the book of Ephesians. Every time that I dig into it, the whole book. It's one of those books where, in my opinion, you can't just take one section. You need to take the entire book and to start from the beginning and go to the end, because there's so much packed in these 6 chapters. And so in this series, it's our letters of Paul from prison, but we're really not digging deep this morning. But the good news is that you can go home and spend some time in Ephesians. And if you read one chapter a day, by the end of the week, you will have completed the entire book. And then you can read the whole book together in one setting and see what comes out and talks to you and speaks to you. So last week, we began looking at that, and we learned that God is gracious to us all, and that it is truly by His grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of us, it's not what we do, but because of everything that He's already done, that we are saved and we have our salvation. And He will equip us to stand strong. And today, we're going to continue on, and we're jumping into the last chapter, and we're going to be looking at the armor of God. Any of you survive the playgrounds of the 80s and 90s? The death traps? Oh, I miss those playgrounds. Those slides, those burning hot slides you could probably fry an egg on. What about Red Rover? Anyone ever play that game? Red Rover, send Jessica right over. You think of that game. You latch hands with your teammates and you become a mighty team of warriors who's going to be strong and nobody's coming through, right? Red Rover, Red Rover. It's really a strategy for war. The team is watching and they're looking at the other side and going, oh, I bet Jessica would be the weak link. We're going to run right through her. And they're looking at us, the other side of the team, going, well, who's it going to be? And everyone is just holding tight. The pressure's on. Don't let go. Red Rover really highlights, if we think of that silly little game, some of the spiritual encounters that we may face. And the good news is that in our spiritual game of Red Rover, we're not facing the enemy's attacks alone. We have each other, which is incredible, but even more than that, we have the sovereign God. The one who's conquered it all. He truly has. He's conquered it all. And we can stand strong no matter what or no matter who tries to break through and tear us apart. Aren't you thankful for that? I am so thankful for that. As we go into the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 10, Paul begins to paint for us a picture of our life in Christ in terms of a battle between two opposing forces. When you look at the book of Ephesians, if we look through chapters 1-3, it's really setting for us our position. And it's telling us that our position is in Christ. And the reason that it's in Christ is because He's the one who has all power. He's been given all power. And in the spiritual realm, He has all authority. He is God. And because of who He is, and because of His love for us, and the fact that He chose us, we can live this life. And then if we go through chapters 4-6, it's really talking to you and I about our duties and our responsibilities as the ones saved by His grace. And He's teaching us how to walk in love, in light, in wisdom. And He doesn't just tell us how to do it, He equips us for it. He equips us for it. This battle that is going on, sometimes Sometimes we dismiss it, or maybe we forget because we're so much more educated and we're so much more capable, and we don't think as much about the spirit realm. The spirit realm exists. The enemy wants you to think that it doesn't. He wants to lull you to sleep. He wants you to think that those things are beyond. But we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. As long as we are on this side of heaven, we will be fighting. And the enemy will be fighting us. But the good news is that even though it started as an unfair fight, Jesus conquered. He conquered and he had victory on the cross. He overcame the grave. And we don't have to go into battle without his supernatural help. He's given us his spirit. Some people say, do I have to have the Holy Ghost? And my question is, why would you not want the Holy Ghost? There's no way I could do this life without it. And I am so thankful that through his spirit, he's given us the means to defeat the enemy. We're called in Ephesians 6:10 to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. The truth of the matter is, the battle will rage every day. The enemy will charge at us. But we need to ground ourselves in Christ. Ground ourselves in the scriptures. God will give us the protection that we need. And he will give us the ability to stand our ground. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's really important that we remember and that we understand that there's a spiritual realm and there are evil forces. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul declared God through Christ as the victor. In verse 21, he says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You see, as Paul speaks to us in this letter, his primary goal was to present to us God as sovereign. He's sovereign. He's God. He's in control. He's got the power. He's got the ability to take care of us. But Paul also understood that Satan was a real threat. And he understood that this body of believers in Ephesus, this letter that he wrote, wasn't just one letter to one particular people, but it was actually a circular letter. It was kind of like, here, you read it and then go share it. And then you read it, and you go share it. And you read it, and you go share it. Why? Because at this time, this was a very divided body. The body of Christ was very divided. You had your Stoic Jews who were steeped in tradition and Mosaic law. And then what happened was God took away the barrier, and he said, it's not just about the Jews and my chosen people, but thank God for us that he opened the door for Gentiles. And he said, now everybody has equal access to God. Everybody gets an opportunity, and we need to understand what that means. And so that's the whole purpose of this letter, is to show us and to teach us and to say, you know what? It's not just about the Jews and it's not just about the Gentiles, but about us coming together as a body because of who he is, because of what he does, we become his people who walk in unity while we walk in love and wisdom. That's the whole purpose of this book. And he's reminding us that people are not our enemies. People are not our enemies. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. People are not our enemies. Now, sometimes the devil may use conflict, and he'll get in our ears. And he'll start trying to drive a wedge wherever he can, however he can. But we have to understand that humans are not our enemy. They're not our enemy. So how do we do that? How do we keep from letting the irritations and the frustrations and all the things that people do? How do we fight against that? We fight it in the spirit. We must be walking in the spirit. We must be full of the spirit. We must manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does it. It's the Spirit that gives us love. It's the Spirit that gives us joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We must learn to live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit transform. Let the Spirit change our thinking. Change the things that we get stuck on. Let the Spirit change our emotional responses to situations. Help us to see what's happening in the spirit world. You see, we take part in that victory that Christ had on the cross. Ephesians tells us that all things are under his feet. He has all authority. We take part in the victory through his death, his burial, and resurrection. When we repent, when we're baptized, and when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we overcome. That's how we find victory, is in the Spirit. You see, this whole gospel that we read, the mystery revealed to us, is that it's not just God with us, but it's him in us. In us. We are co-laborers with Christ. And sometimes we really grab onto that co-laborers, and I'm going to get to work and I'm going to do my thing without saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you're after? We have to have him in us so that he can work through us. You see, Paul, when he urged the early church to remain steadfast against our spiritual adversary, he used the imagery of the armor. The Roman armor, people often reference that. But in studying this in a fresh light in the last couple of weeks, looking at it, did you know that Paul actually references the armor of God as mentioned in the book of Isaiah? The armor of God. It's not just an illustration from the Roman people, but literally it's God's armor that he's made available to us. It's not ours. It's not something that we have to fabricate. It's not something that we have to make. It's something that God has created, and he gives it to us so that we can fight in the spirit realm. And the one thing about this is consistently and repeatedly, Paul emphasizes to us that it's about the whole armor, the full armor, all the pieces of the armor that we need. We need it to go on the defense, and we need it to be on the offense. He didn't encourage us to selectively choose which piece I'll wear today for every circumstance. It's not like, oh, well, maybe I'll wear my belt today. Or maybe I'll pick up my sword today. No, it's the whole armor. It's taking all the pieces of the armor so that we can go into spiritual battle. The whole armor of God is what we need to be after. Human sin results by us just being selfish, by giving into our flesh, by not allowing our spirit to be submitted to God's spirit, to chase after the things that we want and not the things that he wants. We become self-centered and self-driven, and no matter what people say, it's just all about me. Our battle is not with other people. Our battle is spiritual. And the enemy of our souls will use our weaknesses, our self-centered nature, to pursue his goal. And his goal is to stifle the work of God in you, thus keeping the work of God working through you. He wants to stifle that. But by becoming familiar with his strategies, we can better understand how to engage in the battle. We must seek, first and foremost, to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. And I know I keep repeating myself, because there is no other way than to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. We cannot do it any other way and effectively confront the enemy. Some of the armor that Paul lists in here were for defense, not to attack. You look at this, and let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, and we'll just go on from there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The whole armor of God. As humans, we are spiritual beings with a mind, a will, and emotions. So therefore, our mental, volitional, and emotional battles can become spiritual battles. We can get stuck in our mind, in our emotions. And the only way out of that is really to surrender and to submit to God everything and allow him to change the way that we think. Allow him to change the way that we respond to our feelings. I just can't help it. I feel that way. We become driven by our feelings and our responses. But remember, the flesh is weak. The spirit is usually willing. Yes, I'm so motivated. That was an awesome service. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this. And on the way home, someone cut me off in traffic and the flesh is weak. Dinner got burned. The kids won't settle down. The flesh is weak. My husband just knows what button to push. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you see, we have to surrender that. Surrender my will, my feelings, my wants to God, to the point that he not only helps us, but he changes us. And now I don't respond like I used to respond because I know that his spirit is at work in me. He's doing the work. We have to challenge our fleshly choices and our decision-making processes. There's a lot of really good self-help books out there. There's a lot of really, if you do this or do that, things that can help you. But a lot of people never get out of the cycle of trying to figure it out because in and of ourselves, we cannot do it. But when we link arms with Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him. But it takes surrendering to him. It takes surrendering to him and not just saying, I surrender, but it takes surrendering our thought processes, our feelings, our take on everything, how we manage our emotions, the things we want. I'm reminded consistently of a message that I preached 72 degrees a couple years ago. And how easy it is for us to cultivate the atmosphere that is comfortable for us. But the truth of the matter is, God's not after our comfort. Because there's so much more than the things of this world. He's got a divine purpose for you. And if all you're chasing after is comfort, you will never find what you were made for. And you were created for more than just this world. Don't be afraid. We're equipped. Don't be afraid. If you don't know the answer, he will provide it. He will give it. All you have to do is stand strong in the power of his might. His might. It's not about us. It's about him. Us surrendering to the Spirit of God and resisting our fleshly desires. This is how we stop the enemy from destroying God's work in us and through us. Because the Spirit of God is at work and we are standing strong in his power. His power. The truth of the matter is that for all of us and all humanity, the pull within each one of us is to define what is right, to define what is truth. But really, the truth of the matter is that as limited human beings, we struggle with that. Because our own perspectives, our own experiences, the traditions we've been brought up in, the thoughts that have been shared with us, the emotions that we have, all of these things blur our objectivity. No matter how much we try to remain impartial, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? While something might not resonate as true or it doesn't seem true just based on our reasoning, it's important to recognize that we are not the source of truth. there is only one source of truth, and that is God and his word. And when Paul instructs us to put on the belt of truth, he's referring to the truth that is deep within us, that truth that David talked about. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, every part of me, the deepest part of me, truths. The truths that we look at and say, I need to assess my true motive. I need to assess my attitude. I need to ask God to search me and to know me. You think of the word of God, and it talks to us in the scriptures about how it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And sometimes I think about a sword, and a sword is large, and it can cut a lot of things, right? But I think of the word of God as my scalpel. And it gets into the deepest parts of me, and it begins to cut. Not for the purpose of wounding, but for the purpose of healing. It begins to cut, and it begins to show me things that I need to look at, things that I need to change. That's the truth that we should be wrapped in. That's the truth that we need to carry. His word must be established in us, and it must be the point that, you know what? It isn't what other people say that I should be, but who do you say? Who do you say I am? How do you say I should live? We battle that all of our lives. I mean, most of us want to fit in. There are a few people who could care less. And sometimes I envy those people because I feel like the struggle is just a little bit less. You know, we want to be liked. We want to be loved. And if we're not careful, we'll go chasing after the wrong things and listening to the wrong voices. And the enemy will be over here whispering because he knows our weakness. He knows our desire. He knows what we're after. And if we're not careful and we're not grounded in truth and we're not saying, Lord, what do you say? We'll start making decisions that maybe it's not big and explosive and like, whoa, what happened? Nope, it's one little tiny choice. It's one little tiny degree. And before long, we are so far over from where God wanted us to be. That's why we must be wrapped in the truth, the truths of God, knowing what he wants, knowing what he wants. You know, the Apostle Paul, sometimes we look at the scriptures and we think about, wow, that was such a different culture, such a different time period. But evil is just as present today. It's just as present, if not more present. And I think in some ways it's really simplified. And I don't know why it's so dumbed down. Are we that dumbed down? I don't know. But it's really, really simplified to the point that the wiles of the devil, sometimes we can't even see them if we're not watching, if we're not filled with the Spirit. If we're not walking in the Spirit, the attitudes, the agitations, those are all the wiles of the devil. They're ways for him to creep in, to fire darts of doubt, deception, discouragement. He wants to hinder us. He wants to divide us. But that's where our faith and our salvation and God's word is what guards our hearts. The shield of faith calls us to trust in God more than our personal resources. That's a hard one sometimes. Because culture teaches us a lot of different things. But we must know the true source of our help. The helmet of salvation is what protects our mind with the assurance of it's not what I do, but what he's done for me. Because of who he is, I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Because of him, not because of me, but because I surrender to him and I accept that salvation, then I am being changed. I'm being renewed. It's a process that he's taking me through. But my trust is in him completing it, not myself. The enemy will try his very best to bring up your past over and over and over again. But that's when you hit it with the truth of the word that says, I am forgiven. I have been redeemed. I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. What was is no more. In the book of Ephesians, he says, put on the new man. Old things are passed away. The old man is done. But the only way that we're going to rise and put on the new man is by putting on the full armor of God. being filled with the Spirit to the point that it is changing how we think. We'll always struggle on this side of heaven. We are emotional beings. That's the way God created us. We're going to struggle with emotions and things. But what we have to do is take that captive against what the Word of God says. Fight it with truth, the salvation that God provides. That's what it means to put on the full armor of God. And the same way that Jesus defeated the devil in the wilderness, we will defeat him by standing on the truth of God's word. When I was studying this week, it really, really hit me in a completely different way. Which is the incredible thing about the word of God is that it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. Every time you revisit it, every time you go back, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And for maybe the first time in my life, looking at these scriptures and reading it where it says, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. Stand. I begin to recognize that, you know what, this is something where everything is in him. He is the source. And that's what he wants us to understand. It's not us. It's not what we can provide. It's not what we can do. But it's truly just being like, Lord, you are. You are my source. And I don't have to do. I just have to stand in what you've done. I just have to stand in who you are. I just have to stand in your strength. And if I do that, you will accomplish the rest. But that takes surrendering. That takes letting go. That takes letting Jesus take over. Every spiritual battle carried out must include prayer. God's Spirit is able to search our hearts and to guide us according to his will when we are in prayer. James tells us that you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Too often we're praying and we're praying for a specific outcome versus, God, what do you want? What do I need to see through your perspective? What do I need to see through your eyes? What's really going on here? Because all I'm seeing right now is on the surface level. All I'm seeing is how I'm feeling. All I'm seeing is what I'm seeing. What do you see? And what should I see? And how should I go forward? That's what prayer is all about. The enemy will use the frailty of us to drive a wedge between us and God. Again, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must be vigilant. We must take it serious to take care of our spiritual health. We all know the health nuts out there. We call them crunchy people. I'm not really as crunchy as I should be. I try to make better choices. But some people are like really like very, very careful, very, very regimented. And yet sometimes we're really, really lax when it comes to our spiritual health. Remember our mind, our will, our emotions? It's our responsibility to guard them. It's our responsibility to reflect on our thoughts, our decisions, our feelings, everything against the Word of God. Just because I feel it doesn't make it true. We have to be careful because we can become vulnerable to negative influences. If all we're consuming is the influence of the world through social media, yeah, mostly social media. It will kill us. It will kill us. If you ever get lost in doom scrolling and you read and you just keep going through all these things, it's kind of interesting how the algorithm works. And if you pause just long enough right here, then I was like, oh, you're interested in that. Okay. And then all these topics. And before you know it, I'm like, what am I reading? And how did I get here? And what happened? There's an intentionality behind that that we don't see. And we cannot assume that the enemy will not use that to deter us and distract us and to feed our feelings. We have to challenge it with the word of God. What does God say? And we can't challenge it if we're not in the word, if we're not picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, if we are not grounding ourselves in truth. We can't combat that. Do you know what the doom scrolling on social media gives you? Pure happiness and joy, right? No, usually it breeds what? Like discontentment? Discouragement? I just can't. I cannot be like Melissa. Oh my word, if I could just create something like the pies of Jane Rossing. Like what begins to happen is we're judging our lives on the highlight reels of other people's lives. Most people won't let you see the real and the raw. And it hurts us. It hurts our mind. It damages our will and our emotions. But Christ is after so much more than that. If we could set aside all of that stinking thinking and we could get in the word and we can be encouraged by who he says that we are, if we can be encouraged by what he's accomplished for us, if we can be encouraged to say, there's more than this. You don't have to go chasing after things all the time, finding the next big thing, taking the next great vacation, doing all these things where we're just so focused on feeding our flesh. It's hard to surrender to God. It's hard to say, Lord, I want what you want more than what I want. It's hard because we feel like there's so much that we need to do to contribute. And he's saying, stand firm. Just stand in the power of my might. Let me be God. Let me show you that it's not really something that has to be that hard. Stop chasing those things. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Prayer. We must be people of prayer so that God's work can be accomplished. God has equipped us with every defense that we need to face opposition. Whether we're challenged by a direct spiritual attack or the enemy is just trying to get after our weaknesses, we have the necessary weapons of God's word and his Spirit and prayer. But we have to confront the spiritual, emotional, and mental struggles that come our way so the enemy will not be successful in stopping and hindering the work of God in us and through us. But we have to be willing to surrender. We have to be willing to pick up his truths and his weapons and do it his way. That's what it's all about when we take on the armor of God, being transformed into the likeness of his image and standing in the power of his strength. Stand with me this morning. Year after year, tourists are awestruck by the poise and concentration of the King's Guard in London, England. Clad in bright red tunics adorned with shiny gold buttons, sleek black wool trousers, and the towering fluffy bearskin hats, these soldiers stand sentinel over the royal residence and various historic sites in the city, known for their striking uniforms. They are also impressive with their enduring deadpan expressions as they undertake their serious duties. Over the years, visitors have made countless attempts to elicit a smile, laughter, or any response from these stoic sentinels. Some share jokes, others dare to nudge them, and many snap pictures, often resorting to outrage antics in the hopes of breaking their steadfast composure. During the memorable 4 days of Queen Elizabeth's funeral, an incident unfolded involving one of the guards stationed near her casket at Westminster Hall. Amid the deeply somber atmosphere, the royal guard that held their positions close to the queen in their typical unwavering fashion. Additional British army members kept watch at the foot of the steps, fulfilling their solemn duty to their late queen. and throughout the Queensland state, which was a staggering 114 hours, the Royal Guard maintained a vigilant presence, changing shifts every 2 hours. At one point, as one elite guardsman took his position just off the podium, he began to sway during the final moments of his shift. And though the next shift was ready to assume their post, he unexpectedly blacked out, collapsed, and landed sprawled on the stone floor, prompting audible gasps from bystanders in line to pay their respects. Nearby, police officers hurried to assist him while his fellow guards remained resolute beside the Queen's body. Fortunately, the guard recovered swiftly and had no serious injuries. This incident further underscores the remarkable focus and discipline of the Royal Guard. They maintained their composure, undeterred by distractions, big or small, near or far, joyful or sorrowful, determined to uphold their duty, regardless of the weather conditions or personal challenges they might face. These guards stood unyielding. Oh, that our spiritual commitment would match, maybe even exceed, the national commitment of these soldiers as we choose to stand for truth and righteousness. Whether it's in good times or in challenging times, maybe it's personal difficulties or even national struggles. In moments of joy, and in moments of sorrow, may we choose to stand with God's grace and be fully equipped with His armor so that we can stand strong in the power of His might. Of His might. I would encourage you, if you have not done it, to read the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 6, all together. Read through it so that we can understand what it is that is our duty and our responsibility as we follow after Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your incredible love, for the protection that you provide each and every one of us. And God, I come before you this morning. I come before you and I ask you to give us strength and to give us wisdom as we face challenges. Father, as we battle in life, I pray that you would help me to remember that on my own, I am weak, but in you, I am strong and I have strength. And God, I pray that you would help every one of us that are here this morning, that we would begin to rely more and more and more on your armor. And God, that it wouldn't be just a one-time thing, but that every day that we would be reminded that we can stand firm in your strength. God, I pray that you would give us discernment to understand the spiritual realities that are at play. God, that you would open our eyes to see beyond what is happening in our feelings, in our mind, in our thinking. God, that you would help us to be aware of the spiritual realm. I pray, God, that you would remind us every day that our strength is not in ourselves, but our strength is in you. God, anoint us and equip us. Help us to pick up the tools and the weapons that you have given us. Help us to surrender to your will so that your work can be accomplished in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.